Thank you for dialing in tonight, and welcome everyone to Freedom Sway Ministries. If you have entered this conference from a digital source, please be aware that this is a live teleconference meeting. That means we'll have people calling from all over the place. We're going to give them about 3 to 5 minutes to get here. And anytime, digital listeners, anytime you want to join us live, you can dial your telephone 605-475-2090. Then you enter your access code, pardon me, which is 373-363-pound. That spells free me on your telephone keypad. Again, welcome. And if you would like to say hello and let us know you're here, now's a good time to do that.
Hello, Vicki. It's Helen.
Hi, Helen. God bless you and welcome.
Thank you.
Hello, hello.
Hello, it's Gretchen.
Hi, Gretchen. Thanks for calling.
Of course.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome. I'm a baby. Judy's on the line. That's her grandbabies, great grandbabies. Anybody else want to say hello yet? Say hello. Or not. It's not quite 8:30. There's a friendly hello on the text. Welcome. Glad you're here. Would you like to say hello, caller? And again,
hello,
that's
Vicki.
Okay. Oh, hey, Mitch.
Hey,
glad to have
hello,
you.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
How's Pastor Phil?
Pastor Phil, how are you?
I'm good.
Great to be here. Okay, I heard someone else come in.
Claudia.
Hi, Claudia. Thanks for being here. Hope everybody's doing well tonight.
Yes.
I am very excited about the Lord tonight. And I think you will be too.
Yes.
Hello. Go forward. Okay, anybody else want to say hello? Mitch might want to
mute yourself. Hello.
Are you traveling, Miss Vicki? Are you traveling, Vicki?
No, I think that's
hey.
Mitch. Is somebody in their car?
Yeah, I hear a lot of noise coming in the background.
I love that.
I'm going to mute back out.
Okay.
Was that Mitch?
No, it was him. The noise stopped.
You did stop. That's okay. We know it's him.
I was here. I don't know what the noise was. It was a whole bunch of noise in the background. Even when I was muted out, there was a bunch of noise in the background.
Look,
every time I'm muted out, I can
hear the truck.
I'll be back out again. But yeah, I was hearing that noise when I was off the line. I said, "My goodness,
I don't hear
traveling.
It now."
Well, is everybody got a good line now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anybody else want to say hello? If not, I'm going to mute your telephones, and we'll get started tonight. For anybody that's new on the line, what that means is that you will still be able to hear us. But if you're making any noise in the background, it won't affect the lines because your phones will be muted. Last chance. Anybody want to say hello before I mute the phones?
Steve and Cindy in Montana.
Ah, hey. Welcome home.
Yep.
Okay. Somehow I thought you were going to be home last Tuesday, but I missed it.
No, got home Thursday night or Friday morning, actually.
Okay, well, great. Glad you made it home safe. I am going to go ahead then and mute your telephones, and we will get started tonight.
Hello and good evening. My name is Phil Burdett, and I'm here with my wife, Vicki. We're Freedom's Way Ministries, and our mission is to help you come into your full, true identity in Christ and enjoy the benefits of kingdom living.
Amen.
And anything we can do in that area, we are glad to help. So feel free to contact at any time for that purpose. Also, we have our website available that has many teachings, as well as these live meetings on Monday night, so also Friday night. So welcome, and we have a very powerful message tonight. You're going to be blessed, so I am going to pray us in tonight, and we will get started, and you get comfortable and be ready to receive the blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah. God, you are good. You are good. We worship you this evening. We adore you, Father, and we thank you that you are present with us. We thank you for the anointing on this word, that it will prosper the hearers. Thank you, Lord, that you have put a special anointing on this word tonight, and that these people will be blessed and strengthened in your kingdom to rule and reign as is the will of God for us in this world. So thank you, Lord, for it. And we give you honor and glory for it. We bow our knee to you tonight and just say, have your way, Holy Spirit. And in the name of Jesus, I turn aside any interloper or any other spirit that would try to deflect, blunt, or in any way distract God's people from receiving all God has in mind for the hearers tonight. So praise the Lord. God, we honor you. We give you honor and glory tonight in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. God is good. Hallelujah. You know, as we read through the Bible, we can see a lot of symbolic comparisons, teaching on the parables, parabolic teaching, metaphorical expressions, other types and shadows, prophetic symbolism that the Lord weaves into the fabric of his word. Now, I believe that part of the reason for this is that we are meant to dig out the deeper things of God in his word. We're told that the mysteries of God are laid up for us, not from us. We're also exhorted to study to show ourselves approved. And one thing about mining God's word for the nuggets of revelation and meaning is that it only causes us to become hungrier, to learn more. It's kind of like gold fever, only it's God fever. Learning how to read from a spiritual viewpoint, how to recognize the symbolism of numbers or objects or animals, you know, that's another message, and it probably will be a part of this little series. But right now, we want to focus on trees, and in particular, trees of righteousness and the comparisons that we find. So, Father God, we thank you for your word, especially this word about trees of righteousness. We thank you that you've confirmed it over and over again throughout your word. And we ask that you anoint our ears to hear the reason why, the logos of God for each one of us. Why are you sending this word to all who are hearing it? Tell every individual, Lord, what you want them to see, and then show us all how to incorporate that into our lives today. So let's look first at Psalm 1. This is the place in Scripture where God compares man to trees. Psalm 1, the first three verses. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Amen.
Amen. And it's wonderful to know that God is in the midst of us and that he has a great purpose in mind. And when he goes to describe his purpose and his plan for us, he often uses these kinds of analogies. This is not just a bunch of dead doctrine and religion, but a living, breathing word that the creator of all things uses to tell us about ourselves as individuals and as a body. He dwells individually in the heart of each of us as believers, but he also is corporately manifesting himself. God is definitely moving within the body of Christ during this season of revivals among our youth and confirmations of his presence to us older saints. God is so big and his plans are so great that he can't use just one image or piece of imagery to communicate to us the whole of his thoughts and plans. So throughout the scriptures, we find him saying, it's like this, or it's like this, giving us something to relate to. Here in Psalms, God is telling us that a man that is not going to follow the counsel of the ungodly, who are the ungodly? Those who are not following God and are not walking with God and don't really care about God or even think much about him. They are people who do not flow in the things of God. The Psalm states that the man who refuses to follow the counsel of the ungodly but stays in the things of God, he shall be like a tree planted by the river, which is never going to be without provision. That's really what it's saying. His leaves are going to be strong. He's going to bear fruit in his season. It's all about being planted by the river. The fountain of God, the river of life, references made to God's river in many places. Vicki even wrote a book about it from a passage in Ezekiel 47, emphasizing there is life where the river flows. Jeremiah speaks of God's fountain of living water when prophesying a warning to Israel.
Yep. I'm going to read that in Jeremiah 2, verse 11 through 13. Has a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be you very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Have mercy, Lord. When we leave the fountain that brings us life, God's river, and go wandering off to dabble in or depend on other things that promise us something more, it will always lead to destruction. On the other hand, being lined up and connected to God is compared to being a tree planted by this river of living water. So we want to connect and compare the word in Isaiah 61. This is an amazing chapter. We just encourage everybody to read the whole chapter, but we're not going to do that now for the sake of time. I'll read the first three verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, bring them back to their purpose, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. God is telling us, those of us who are the fruit of Jesus' ministry are the trees of righteousness. Or I should say, to be trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord. We said all that to show that the Bible likens us to trees. Maybe that seems a little strange, but remember, God's ways are not our ways. God calls us trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. If you want a really fascinating Bible study, you can go to all the trees in the Bible, from the Garden of Eden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life. Then there are the trees used to build the ark, and perhaps the most significant tree, the one the cross was made from. At the end of the book, we find the tree that stands by the river of life, and it bears its fruit year-round, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. But all throughout the Bible, you find this topic, trees, and it's really interesting to consider that the Bible refers to us as trees of righteousness.
So, that being established, let's look at a few of the trees God shows us in his book, and how these analogies can be applied into our lives. These kinds of symbols help us understand ourselves. In Exodus, we have the story of God taking his people out of bondage. They've been in Egypt, which is a type of sin, and God, by the hand of Moses, is leading them into the promised land, the place of their inheritance. They've just been through the Red Sea. They've seen Pharaoh's armies destroyed. Amazing, amazing things. And we understand the analogy. You know, we've all been in sin. God has brought forth a deliverer. His name is Jesus. And he leads us out of our bondage of sin and into our promised land, our inheritance. So back to the story. Here are all these people in the wilderness. They're coming out of bondage, and they become very, very thirsty. And there's no water there for them to drink. Then finally, they come upon this pool of water, but its name is Marah, or Mara, which means bitter. It was undrinkable water. And God gives an interesting solution to this problem. Can you read that, baby?
Certainly. Exodus 15, verses 22 through 26. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you."
Thank you for your word. This is amazing. Here are these people marching in the wilderness, and they need a drink of water. We really need to stop and think about this and realize water is everything in this circumstance. You know, you and I, we tend to take drinking water for granted. It's easily available to us. We don't often think, "This water is vital to my life. We just drink it." So when I was in India, they don't have, their water out of the ground is salt. They don't have fresh water easily available. We have to have water for survival. If we're an army, and God says we are, and we're out there in the wilderness without water, it's over. So the Israelites come to some water, and the water is bitter. They can't drink it. But God had a provision. And what was that provision? A tree. I'd like for you to stop and think about this tree for a minute, because remember, we are trees. So here's this tree out in the wilderness. It wasn't just any tree. It was a unique tree. I think you would agree, not just any tree would remedy the issue. Now, this particular tree had been out there, God only knows how long, standing there in the wilderness, wondering what its purpose in life was all about. This tree was probably frustrated, feeling doubtful that it had any purpose at all. Standing there by the water that was bitter. Help us, Lord, how many of us have been planted by bitter waters? How many of us have had bitter things we've had to deal with, to live with, or next to? Bitter things to wrestle through, to overcome. And we may have wondered, what's my purpose in life? I'm out here all alone. I'm in the wilderness, and this growing thing is so slow.
God took the time in his wisdom and foreknowledge to plant a tree. He planted it strategically in a place where he knew his people were going to be coming by. He knew they were going to need those waters made drinkable. He alone could cause that which is undrinkable to be made drinkable, that which is bitter to be made sweet. The tree was created to be unique and have healing properties for a specific purpose. All that tree had to know was the will of God for its life. We need to be very aware that God has been working a strategy in the midst of our lives, yours and mine, for many years. He sees the end, and he is taking us to it. Even though you might be thinking, what am I doing and where am I going? You need to know that there is a purpose. God wants to take that which has been bitter and undrinkable and make it drinkable for somebody, for a people that he is bringing by.
Amen. Not about us, about him.
Amen.
So here's the truth. We got to tell you this. It's going to cost you. That tree had to give its life. That tree had to be willing to be cut down and cast directly into that which was bitter in order to make it sweet. But when it was cut down and when it was cast in, a whole nation of people, we're talking lots and lots of people, in this case, millions of people, got a life-saving drink. A nation was saved and redeemed all because of one tree. I think we can call it a tree of righteousness that was planted out in the wilderness. It was unlike every other tree. It had something unique about it. It was different. You know, sometimes people look at us and we just know they're thinking, you know, you're a little different. You're just different. And some of them might even think you're from another planet. Yeah. Bill said, if I had a brand, it would be Quirkland. But so what? Is that always bad? Not necessarily. It doesn't mean you're better, just different. It's okay to be different. Praise God. It's important for us to remember that the tree had to give up its life, its comfort, its position where it was, and it was thrown into the purpose of God. Jesus made it plain. We will give up our lives, meaning our ways, our thoughts, our feelings, our rights. He said, if any man will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, I don't think any of us much likes that idea. Dying to yourself is hard. But once you find out that the very reason you were born and planted was for such a thing, the reward of watching the fruit of your cooperation with God will prove to be well worth the sacrifice.
Amen. God is good. Now here's another tree of righteousness. In Luke 19, verses 1 through 6, it says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. I think we all remember this tree, don't you? This is the tree little Zacchaeus climbed up. Now think about this tree for a second. Here's a sycamore tree planted by a roadway. God only knows how many years in advance of this moment. Just like the tree at Mara, this was not an accidental planting. This was a planting of the Lord, because God knew that one day down that road would come the Son of God, creator of all things, the Lord Jesus himself, with a great multitude of people following him. God knew that there would be a short guy in the crowd who couldn't see Jesus. God's heart was to have a tree there standing ready to help this little short man see Jesus.
Hallelujah. Think about this. Think about Zacchaeus and his dilemma. He was a rich man, Scripture tells us. He had a lot of money. He had a lot of influence and power in that respect. But all his wealth could not buy him what he needed. He was little in stature. He couldn't add 1 inch to his height with all his wealth. Add to that the fact that there are all these people, taller people than he is, in front of him. It seems there is a lot of flesh in the way. Zacchaeus is thinking, what am I going to do? He went looking for a tree, but not just any tree was going to help him. It had to be a tree, pardon me, with branches low enough to accommodate where he was. Now think about that. With some trees, the branches don't start till way up over your head. For a wee little guy, that's not going to work for you. I believe God wants to plant trees that people can get their hands on and climb. Sometimes we tend to get involved in big, high spiritual things that nobody can even get their hands around. God's looking for a tree with branches low enough so that when somebody wants to see Jesus, they don't have to pass by and keep searching. They won't have to walk past this tree because it can't help them see Jesus. There are people out there crying out, I'm a wee little guy. I need someone to help me up. Where's there a place I can climb? Where's there a place at my level that I can get my hands on, something I can grasp and hold on to? So the tree has to have branches low enough to accommodate people where they are. We're not talking about lofty religion that's so out there people can't get their hands on it. At the same time, the branches can't be down low only. This tree has to provide people an opportunity to rise and allow them to see Jesus. The whole purpose is to see Jesus.
Amen. Being a tree is an interesting thing to consider. Think about that. Here we are planted by a roadside. People, God has a people that are coming by. He is taking a generation out of bondage and into his glorious kingdom. As the Lord Jesus comes on the scene and the multitudes flock around Jesus, there will be those who are hearing about him, but who want an opportunity to do more than just hear about him. There are those who say, I want to see him for myself. Can you show me Jesus? Can you help me see Jesus? I believe God wants us to be one of those trees. That means we've got to be willing for people to step on our branches. Oh, ouch. People are going to step on your branches and climb up, walk on you a little bit, or maybe walk all over you a whole lot. When people need to see Jesus, they need a place to stand to see him. They need a place to grab hold of. So they're going to come and want to grab hold of us. Our job is not to hold on to them. It's to help them to see Jesus. That's our job. That's our vocation. That's our calling. To help others see the Lord himself.
Yeah. Think about the dynamics of that tree. Just the branches. Just the branches of that tree. First of all, as I said, the branches have to be low enough for people to get a start. And then there can't be big gaps between the branches. It has to be well thought out. There can't be too many branches either. I was a tree climber as a kid. Have you ever tried to climb a tree that had too many branches? You're going to get poked in the eye, scratched, cut up, swatted. Those limbs rebound when you go through them sometimes. We can be like that. Sometimes we muddy the waters. We throw out so many little things in front of people, they say, I can't climb up in that mess. I mean, really, who wants to get tangled up in a bunch of theology and doctrine that means nothing? As an example, the kinds of meaningless questions like, who is Cain's wife? Were those demonic angels that came down and had sex with women? Can women teach in church? And 100 other such, like, trivial. What does God say about those discussions? 2 Timothy 2:23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife.
Help us, Lord.
The book is not about Cain's wife. It's about Jesus. Those kinds of theological, doctrinal questions don't help anybody see Jesus. They only create strife and debate and contention. God wants to clean the thing up, give some solid branches down low enough for people to climb up, low enough for people in real life to get their hands on, and yet have branches high enough so they can rise up to see Jesus. The branches have to be spaced properly also, so they can climb without the danger of falling, without a huge struggle. That's what God wants to form in you and make you into a tree of righteousness. Mm-hmm. It may take many of us, the body, each of us a branch in some great tree. We each represent a branch. We represent a place. One has a message to reach the little guy. The next one is there to bring him up to another level, and so on. But don't forget, we all get stepped on. Wow.
It's fact. What happens, though, if you're that tree and you're wondering why your purpose in life is, you have been there by the same worn roadway for years and years and years, just standing there. Okay, here I am, going nowhere. I'm a Christian. I'm a tree. Just standing here. I'm a tree. Vicky says I'm a tree. Leaves blowing in the wind once in a while, getting rained on, feeling the mud slung up on me from wagons and horses, and losing my leaves. I'm a tree. What a life purpose this is. Am I really supposed to feel satisfied with this? And then all of a sudden, here comes the multitude. The Lord Jesus is walking down the road, and this little guy starts stepping all over your branches. Maybe you're trying to see Jesus, and he's in your way. Maybe we missed the fact that the little guy climbing up in our branches is our purpose for the moment. And suddenly, there he is, up in your branches. And Jesus and the whole multitude stop right in front of you, right in front of your ministry. Now, you've been there for years, faithfully, steadfast in your place. Everybody is now looking at you, or so you think. You're the tree. I'm the tree. Look at me. You know what can happen if we're not careful? We won't want to let Zacchaeus come down from the tree and go be with Jesus. We can cause people to be stuck in our branches. You know what happens a lot of time with ministries? We get all our branches together, our programs and formulas in place. We help people climb up to see Jesus, and then they finally get there, and when they do, more people start coming. The crowd is out there, and everybody's saying, wow, Jesus is stopping. He's talking. And we think they're looking at us. We think they're talking about us and this program and this ministry and yada-da. But really, they're talking about Jesus and the way he's touching people. Ultimately, the time comes for Jesus to say to somebody in our branches, come down. I want to spend the day with you. And we don't want to let them go, because that means the whole crowd is going to go.
We can feel like our whole purpose is gone, but that's not the case at all. Our whole purpose is realized in two things. It begins with letting people see Jesus and then letting people know him personally.
Amen.
We have to be positioned to let people up in our branches and then to let people out of our branches to be with the Lord. What that means is basically this. We can rejoice that God would use us to change someone's life and not fear losing them when their season evolves.
Sure.
I don't believe that tree was a sad tree.
Yeah.
I believe that when Zacchaeus came down and Jesus restored him, that tree knew it had been used by God and was in the will of God. Just because people stop in front of you and think you're doing a great thing, don't fall into being impressed by that. Like the scripture about faith in Luke, where Jesus compares faith to being a servant. And he says in Luke 17, verses 7 through 10, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may step and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunken, and afterward you shall eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We've only looked at two of the trees of righteousness so far. We want to look at some others because we are each one called to be a tree of some kind.
Amen.
There are so many wonderful stories, we can't possibly get to them all, but next week we'll examine a few more. So we hope you've all gotten fresh insight into the many dimensions of God's word and how there are so many facets hidden for us to discover in the analogies. If you have a renewed hunger to get into the word and find the nuggets, we will have accomplished at least a part of our mission. So right now, let's pray and seal this word. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to, for anybody who might be new on the line or in our conferences, we lead you through a prayer usually at the end of each message to seal it and to make our pledge to the Lord. And we do this praying out loud. The reason that we pray out loud is that only God can read your mind. The angels need to hear you in agreement with God so that they can be released to accomplish the word that you speak. Also, the demons need to hear you. They can't read your mind either, so that they will know that you're in agreement with God and they got to go. So if you will, please. Just pray this prayer with me. Father God, I know you have awesome plans for me.
God, I know you have awesome plans for me.
I know there are no accidents in you. And that you have planted me very strategically.
That you have planted me very strategically.
Out in front of something.
Out in front of something.
Something I'm not altogether clear about.
Something that I'm not altogether clear about.
But Lord, I trust you.
Lord, I trust you.
In your wisdom.
Wisdom.
You know what's about to happen.
You know what's about to happen.
And you know how frustratingly slow it can seem to be.
You know how frustratingly slow it can seem to be.
As I wait on you. And I do my best just to grow where you've planted me.
To grow where you've planted me.
I choose to put my roots down.
Choose to put my roots down.
Into your river of living water, Lord.
Into your river of living water, Lord.
And be healed.
And be healed.
You said, wherever the river flows, there is life.
You said that wherever the river flows, there is life.
You know the bitter waters I've been fed by.
You know the bitter waters I've been fed by.
You forgive the people who were involved.
Forgive the people who were involved.
In bringing bitterness and shame into my life.
In bringing bitterness and shame into my life.
And I forgive myself.
I forgive myself.
For harboring bitterness.
Harboring bitterness.
Against any person.
Against any person.
I break agreement with that spirit.
Break agreement with that spirit.
You know the people that will be passing by me.
You know the people that will be passing by me.
And I know that you want me to be available.
And I know you want me to be available.
Available to the ministry you're calling forth.
Available to the ministry you're calling for.
In my heart.
In my heart.
Lord, if it means having people step on my branches.
Lord, if it means having people step on my branches.
If it means not taking the credit.
It means not taking the credit.
Not getting the attention.
Not getting the attention.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Forgive me for any resentment.
Forgive me for any resentment.
Or need to be noticed and recognized.
Or need to be noticed and recognized.
It's not about me, Lord. It's about you. Help me bless those who have used me.
Help me bless those who have used me.
To climb up.
To climb up.
Help me rejoice in their moving on with you.
Rejoice in their moving on with you.
And what you have called them to do.
What you have called them to do.
My desire is to partner with you.
My desire is to partner with you.
In restoring mankind and this earth.
For mankind and this earth.
Back to you.
Back to
you. Lord, I pray right now. That as I have been called a tree of righteousness.
As I have been called a tree of righteousness.
That I would see my calling.
That I would see my call.
That I'd be planted by the river of life.
Planted by the river of life.
That there would be a fresh drawing strength in me.
There would be a fresh drawing strength in me.
That like an army.
Like an army.
I will stand up and respond.
Stand up and respond.
To your presence.
To your presence.
I will produce fruit.
Produce fruit.
Whatever the season. Because it's always the season in your presence.
Always a season in your presence.
And I thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For your grace.
Your grace.
For your gifts.
Yes.
And for making me a tree of righteousness.
Making me a tree of righteousness.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
And I just want to say right now, for anybody who broke agreement with that spirit of bitterness, resentment, and the need to be recognized, I take the sword of the Spirit of God and I sever generational cords of iniquity, any evil soul ties that have held those things in place in your life. I send back in the Spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you. I take back for you every godly thing you were meant to have. And I send bitterness, resentment, and the need to be recognized, I send to the pit. I cast you out. From every cell in their bodies, every thought in their mind, every emotion in their heart, I cancel those cell memories of bitterness, and I speak healing into your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, that you receive the healing anointing of God. Let that river flow, bringing life and refreshing peace and love that casts out all fear. In the name of Jesus Christ, and when that river flows into you, Lord God, I ask that you move the hearts of every one of your children, that they don't dam it up and block it, so that that river of living water can flow through them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. If you have a comment or a question, if you would like to say anything at all, you can push your *6 key on your telephone keypad. That will unmute your phone, and you can ask your question or make your comment. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Vicki. I needed that tonight. I don't know if you remember, on Sunday I did a healing service for the congregation, and I got stepped on, and I'm grateful. At first I was a little confused, but you know, this teaching is just perfect. And if I got stepped on and someone saw Jesus, then praise God, my attitude needed corrected. And so I'm very thankful, of course, for this ministry and for you and for the words the Lord gives you, because he knows what we need before we do, obviously. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord. And I just break any trauma from that and restore you to righteousness, you tree. who else has a comment or question tonight? Thank you, Gretchen.
Yes, brothers and sisters, thank you thank you all for the lesson. Yes, God has planted us and things we just don't know out there. Thank you. That kind of opened the eyes up a little bit more, too, then. We get out here and let him shine out of everything we do and say out here, so other people can see him in us and maybe get a way to pull someone else into the kingdom and lead other people to God, too. Thank you,
amen.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank y'all. What a blessing y'all are to us, though. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. God bless you. Glory to the Lord.
Yes, glory to God.
Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We were either really clear or very confusing. So far we've been really clear. So if there are no other comments or questions, I want to remind everybody that our 7:15 conference call every weekday morning. We pray a lot, and we have Bible reading. We do 5 Psalms, a proverb, 2 chapters in the Old Testament, 2 chapters in the New Testament, and then we pray for each other. So if you want to join us on that line, we're usually there from about 7:15, 7:20 till around 9 o'clock. Excuse me. People come as they can, leave when they need to. There is no obligation or set times other than the beginning. So if there are no other questions or comments tonight, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it's Sue. I just want to say hello, and then that was interesting about the trees. Thank you. Got me thinking.
You're so welcome. Yeah, we got more trees coming next week. More trees. You'll fit in there somewhere.
Yeah. I never climbed, but my sister Gail did. We used to climb in barn chutes, though.
Okay.
Never broke a leg, but... Thank God.
Praise the Lord for that.
Oh, thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Okay. If there are no other comments or questions, we're going to wind up, wow, really on time tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Phil to close us out with the benediction.
Yes, to conclude the teaching tonight, we always follow it with the Aaronic benediction from Numbers, the 6th chapter. So Father God, we just thank you for your word tonight. We ask you to seal it in our hearts, make it clear what your purposes, what your words were meant to tell us, and open up in our hearts that we can grow up in you, be more like you in all our ways, Father. We just thank you that you have a good plan for us. And as Aaron, the high priest of Israel, the people of God, in Numbers, the 6th chapter, he did a benediction. Most of you are familiar with it. I'm going to do it tonight in Hebrew and in English. God bless you as you hear and receive. Yivarechach Adonai. Ve'yishmarecha, yisa Adonai panav elecha, yifunecha, yisa Adonai panav elecha, v'yasem lecha, shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you peace, give you shalom. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Thank you for your blessing, Lord. Thank you for your people. Ask that you encamp your angels around them this week. Give them a glorious God-filled week and many opportunities as you speak to their hearts, to speak to others, to grow the kingdom and to bless the people as is your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. And this message will be repeated on Friday at 8:30. Gretchen will bring it as led by the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. Talk to you in the morning, those of you who will be calling in. Have a great night. Bye now.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night,
Ed. Good night, everyone.
Good night,
Gretchen. Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody. Glad to hear you back, Brother Phil.
Glad to hear you.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be here. Glad to be heard.
All right, y'all have a great one. Good night.
Thank you.